The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it's written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, which is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." And again Jesus called to the crowd and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And he went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. Good job. Good job, everybody, with that song. All right, I'm going to go a direction you probably didn't guess this morning. Do you know what this is? It's a baby diaper. And do you know what a baby diaper does? It protects their what? Booties. Protects their booties. Yes. Yeah. Maybe we should ask parents, what does this do? It saves us. It catches all that poop, all that pee. And wouldn't you know it, today's gospel even talked about that. Isn't that wonderful? So let's assume this was covered in poop. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably right. It stinks. We're going to put that over there. Now, I've touched some nasty stuff. So I'm going to have a snack now. Does that sound good? Anybody think it's insane that these poopy-covered hands are about to have food snacks? Nobody thinks that's crazy? Nobody? You don't think my hands are pretty dirty?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you be crazy enough to eat a fruit snack after changing a diaper?
You need baby wipes.
I do need baby wipes. That is a good point. So, excuse me. I'm going to have to do something else. All right. Now if I eat the fruit snacks, are they clean?
Yeah.
Mmm. Yep. So when did you learn about washing your hands? Did your parents tell you that from an early age? Wash your hands before you eat? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I remember being told to wash my hands And I'll be honest, I don't always remember to wash my hands. I always remember after changing a diaper, though. Don't worry. But I don't always remember to wash my hands. Have you ever eaten anything without washing your hands?
No.
No? You guys are like perfect. Or what about this? Have you ever made a mistake? Anybody made a mistake?
No.
No? You're helping me a lot here. All right, anybody besides her ever made a mistake? I know I've made mistakes.
No.
You're right, I haven't. I lie. So, no, we've all made mistakes. We've all had those moments where we might feel unclean. Not you, though. I am so glad that you are perfect. This children's sermon isn't for you, then.
Because
you can read. Good.
10 books a day.
So, we're unclean sometimes. Sometimes we forget to wash our hands. And you know what? There's grace for that. Did you know there's grace for that? Have your mom and dad ever forgave you for making a mistake? Maybe. Well, I'm sorry. That's because you never have made mistakes. So sometimes we get those mistakes. We scratch. We sometimes hurt our friends or neighbors. But there is grace for that. And that is the amazing promise of today, that there is grace in all these things. Even though we are seen to be very unclean, Jesus came and rescued us. And through that, when we enter that kingdom, we will be clean. Does that sound good to anybody? Sounds pretty good. Well, will you please pray with me? Dear God, thank you for coming. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to save us who are truly unclean. And that your love is indeed unconditional. And that you will love us and save us. And that your grace is enough for us. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. What do we consider to be unclean today? Anybody know what it takes to be unclean besides not washing your hands after changing a diaper? Besides not washing your hands, besides not taking a shower, besides maybe the language we use, besides some of our actions. I'm sure we can think of so many different ways in our life that we might be unclean. But we know how to be clean. It's simple. Wash your hands before you eat. Wash your hands after you come in during flu season. Wash your hands after you change the diaper. Make sure you take a shower so you smell good. And make sure you use the soap. Make sure that when you take that bath, you use the soap. Make sure that you clean the house every once in a while. Make sure that, make sure it's clean. Clean off the counters, get rid of the eggs, get rid of all this, throw the trash away, make sure it's in the blue bag on the curb. You know how to make sure things are clean. Maybe even clean up your language. You know how to make things clean. And we know better than these church leaders, don't we? Don't we? Do we know any better than these church leaders that are coming out and talking about hands that are dirty? How can they eat this food with that dirty hands? How can they do this? Are we better than the church leaders in this story? Have we ever accused somebody of being unclean? Have we ever pointed out different parts about somebody? Have we ever tried to say, I'm right, you're wrong? Elizabeth Johnson from Working Preacher this week has this to say about that question of whom do we consider unclean today? Who do we try to keep at a safe distance? We've been taught to distance ourselves from the Pharisees and the scribes, yet perhaps we have more in common with them than we thought. We understand, like the Pharisees, that being called by God's a gift. And in response to God's grace, we want to live in the ways God wants us to live. And we try to discern what that means in the concrete circumstances of our daily lives. Problem is that as we are attempting to live faithfully, there's always the temptation to judge those who do not live in the same way, to set ourselves above others. Perhaps we're even tempted to believe that somehow we are more deserving of God's love and grace than others. Sometimes we're in that same boat, aren't we? What happens when we know it all? What happens when we see that ideal self that we want and we try to strive for it and think we're there but nobody else is? What if we have it all figured out? We do judge, but what about our own hearts? What do we see when we lift up that mirror after pointing all those fingers and look into that mirror? What do we see? Because you know the old saying of when you point one finger this way, you have about three fingers pointing back. When you look in that mirror, you see the imperfections. What do you see in that perfection? What do you see with the imperfections? The evil thoughts of the heart, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, slander, envy, folly, maybe even a little arrogance. When you look in that mirror, you see perfection among what we want to be as our perfect self. And there's a very short clip I'd like you to listen to that talks about this, and it's from Nadia Boltz-Weber from the National Youth Gathering, and it talks about us, our imperfections, our evil thoughts, and is there an answer when we're looking in that mirror and see nothing but imperfection among what we want to be perfect? Is there an answer for us among all of this? So let's take a look.
So the bottom line is, like, the reason to be unafraid of being honest and just tell the truth about ourselves and to be our actual selves is your ideal self doesn't exist. The self that God has a relationship to is your actual self. The self God loves is your actual self. And there's a word for this, and that word is grace. God isn't waiting for you to become thinner or more spiritual or better athlete to love you. I think the more distracted we become by our projects of self-improvement, the less we really even experience the love of God, because we're too busy trying to earn what's already been freely given to us. So here's the deal. Your ideal self is not real. You are. You and all your inconsistencies and beauty, you and your sinner and Satanist, you, God, beloved, you are magnificently imperfect. But there's so many lies out there trying to tell us about ourselves. Not for nothing, but there is a reason why in parts of the Hebrew Bible, the devil is called Hasatan, which means the accuser. And look, no matter if you believe that the devil's an actual being or just the human forces of evil or the shadow side of our own beings, I don't care, man. It is the voice of the accuser that tells us lies about ourselves and other people. The voice of shame in our heads, that's the accuser. The accusing voice is the voice that continually updates me on the distance between my ideal self and my actual self. The one that repeats harmful things said to me as a child. That voice makes us eat less than we should or more than we should. That voice makes us go to ridiculous lengths to prove it wrong or to prove it right. And sometimes we try and shut that voice up with alcohol or sex or shopping or carbohydrates or perfectionism. The accuser is not the conscience, by the way. My conscience says, you were rude to your coworker, and hopefully I listen to my conscience and I go apologize. What I'm talking about are the crippling messages on repeat in our heads. The things we say most often about ourselves to ourselves. That's something different. That's shame, not a guilty conscience. So know this, my friends. When the accusing voice is on repeat in your head, that is not the voice of God. God's voice is a warm sing-song of a mother to her newborn, the one that says, "You are mine." God's voice declares us worthy, and there's a word for having worthiness that is in no way based in our efforts or our accomplishments or some ridiculous idea that we can become an imagined ideal, and that word is grace. I like to think of grace not as when, like, God is a good enough guy to forgive me for my failings, but when God is a source of wholeness and redemption and healing which makes up for my failings, a source which is more powerful than my failings. Grace is the only place of true rest because every other thing in this bankrupt world is about worthiness.
So think about that. Think about how we know that we're imperfect. Christ even points out we're imperfect in today's gospel. He points out the evil intentions dwell within us in our hearts. We don't need to look for them. They are there. We might be judging others, but we too are unclean. And our heart, though, is capable of so much more than that, too, than these evil intentions. But be careful. Be careful not to put that in an arrogant spot, to put yourself in front of others for what you have done, among other imperfections. We have a God that sent his only Son into this world full of hearts that are full of evil intentions, mistakes, being unclean. And yet he came in, and one of my favorite words to actually use when we say the Apostles' Creed is hell. Who actually descended into hell. Not only the hell of where our souls are, but where we are in our own lives. He's descended into that hell of our imperfections. He's descended into all those evil intentions. He's seen it all, those evil hearts. But through that all, Christ has come, and we can't save ourselves, but he can, and he did. There's grace for all of that. There's grace for those uncleanliness of our lives. There's grace for our impure thoughts. There's grace for all of this. When we look in the mirror and see that person that is unclean and imperfect, when we want to see the perfect, when we point the finger and more point back at us, that is good news that there is grace. Grace for not only me, but for all those around me. Those that might not agree with you in life. Those that might judge you for other things. Those that might be against you. There's grace for that too. There's grace for us all. And that is good news for us today. Good news that even as Jesus points out all of these evil things of the heart, in the end, at the very end, thanks to Christ and grace, what is seen is that godly self, that saint and sinner aspect, that saint part of ourselves is what is seen. Jesus dives in wherever we're at, into the unclean of our lives, the unclean of this world, to save us all. I can't think of a greater thing to talk about on Labor Day weekend than knowing that God didn't take a rest. He jumped in to all this filth for us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.